It's the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by A Number One Air.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. Well, last night I took a nice leisurely stroll down to the beach here in Oxnard and just took in this. Boy, the weather's so fine out here, and it's so great to look out and see an ocean. There is something very moving about seeing an ocean.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it connect you across all human time periods, thinking about how many humans stood and looked out at that water, and that water basically looks the exact same as it looked 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago.
I love it. Seeing how flat it is, just no doubt about it.
No, it's curved. The Earth is curved. but, yeah, and seeing it, and it always makes you reassess your life and realize what a failure you are, doesn't it?
Not always.
No, it's not a universal?
No. Uh-oh. Sometimes it's just really a peaceful feeling that you get.
And it also makes you realize, boy, there's a lot of beaten down people that are attracted by this ocean, and I'm one of them.
Yeah.
So as I looked around, I was walking down the streets of Oxnard to the beach, and as you get closer to the beach, the people get a little more wheels off, a little more weather beaten, as well as regular beaten. And there was this crazy Einsteinian homeless guy that was walking by in a tank top and flip-flops. And he looked like he didn't have a penny to his name, and his only possessions were the, I guess it was about the 3 pounds of dirt that were coating his skin.
Wow. God.
And he gets up close to me, and he reaches in his pocket as he's approaching me, and I'm like, okay, this is it.
This is when he's drawn a knife.
Yeah, he's wanting to do his own brand of wealth redistribution right now and probably take me out in the process. Reaches in, pulls out. I see the flash of silver in his hand as he whips it up in front of his face, and he starts blowing a harmonica in my face.
Too bad you didn't have your guitar.
I didn't ask for it. I didn't know. I don't know why he did this, why he chose me to serenade uncomfortably with a harmonica.
What did he go with? Love Me Do? Or
it was generic harmonica stuff.
Just no real...
That's the thing. Most harmonica stuff is real generic. It's cool sounding, kind of a blues harmonica thing, but it's all the same song, whatever it is.
Was he playing for a tip?
No, because it didn't look like he had much of anything to put a tip in.
Did you start over clapping?
I should. I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know whether to keep walking, ignore him, and then he goes away. But then that's not acknowledging his humanity and listening to this fine gift that he's presenting to me of playing his harmonica. So I just kind of stand there and listen to him and then say, thanks. That was good. And then I walked on. And then as I walked on, I realized, was he really expecting me to hand him something? I mean, it's like, I didn't stop for his performance.
Right.
I didn't go up to him because I saw him performing with a, you know, open harmonica case that I could throw some money into. He assaulted me with a harmonica song.
You should have started dancing.
Yeah, really grooving on what he was throwing down.
Well, you know, in hindsight, this is what I would have done had I had more energy, because it did occur to me at the time, is that I would have either started over clapping or dancing or start singing along some lyrics, and then at the end of it, hold my hand out for a tip. And then we had the tip standoff, and then it's like, oh, okay, I guess we don't owe each other anything. Because, yeah, we exchanged goods and services in like kind.
Isn't that stretch where you walked to go to dinner last night one of the most beaten stretches in all of America? Yet there are some really good restaurants down there, but just the people who are hanging out down there, aren't they just beaten to the high holy hell?
Oh, jeez. And another thing is, I don't know how far away from the city center that beach is, but apparently the news about smoking being bad for you hasn't gotten there.
No.
I don't know if they don't get health updates near the beach or what, but there are all these people that are just out there smoking with their leathery skin, and they're exposing their skin to sun, and they don't seem to be wearing sunscreen.
No. And they don't give a damn. Mm-mm.
Well, now that's reading into it. Yet, I saw parked out along the street, there'd be these beaten-down vehicle after beaten-down vehicle, half of them shoe-polished with a extremely low purchase price on them. $500 OBO on the back of a lot of these cars. Yet, there would be these really high-priced Mercedes Sprinter vans, 4x4 Sprinter vans that people would have. And those things are $100,000 vehicles at least.
Mm-hmm. I saw a beaten-down jalopy, and it had shoe polished in the back window. Free OBO.
Okay, no, it didn't. You made that up. Because that's stupid. And I did see something scurry beside me as I passed one particular little kind of a sandscape-type yard. And I look, and I swear it was some sort of a snake.
Snake.
And that got me a little bit worried because in Dallas, I know all the animals, all potential danger spots. I'm an expert. But out here, I don't know the flora and fauna.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'm going to... what a hogweed plant looks like out here, that if I touch it, my skin will blister. I don't know which snakes are venomous and will kill me on the spot. And so I did some studying. California has 6 venomous snakes.
6?
Yeah, and they all look like forms of rattlesnakes.
I was going to say, yeah, outside of rattlesnake, what do they got?
And then I see that discovered in California, which was very concerning for officials, was a rare venomous sea snake that usually does not come this far north. And they discovered it in January. And one of the places it was discovered here in California, Silver Strand Beach in Oxnard.
Wow.
Oh, no. You encountered it.
I don't know if I encountered it, but it's a very deadly sea snake.
Huh.
So I don't know if it crawls up on land when it wants some fish tacos, and then so it's near the beach. I realized that this could have been a sea snake that had crawled up and was about to either serenade me with a harmonica or bite me, and I could have died.
Well, we've had a lot of wildlife encounters on this trip so far, because as we were driving out of the hotel this morning, I almost ran over a silly wabbit.
That was a silly wabbit.
Wasn't that silly?
Big ears.
Well, I see rabbits all the time in Dallas, where I live. I see a rabbit every morning before I leave.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I see one about every day.
And every night when I get home. You don't encounter rabbits? You don't really have rabbits. When I used to live over by you, Junior, I don't remember seeing rabbits down there.
No, I never see them in my neighborhood. I'll see them occasionally at White Rock Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And they're usually pretty silly.
They're not that silly. By the way, this 25-inch-long adult female sea snake that was found in Oxnard was found by a beachgoer who almost tripped over it.
Oh, wow.
Thought it was a stick.
So they do go on land.
Yeah, they do go on land. Hmm. So we have that to contend with. And for some reason, Oxnard is a place that they are obviously concentrating.
Well, be careful. Watch out for those snakes and watch out for those harmonica guys. All right, that's the ODEC 641 on the ticket from Cowboys Training Camp in Oxnard. It's time to muse in the news with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
Well, Giorgio, we're going to talk Mavs dancers at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I read Sharon Grigsby's column on that about how CEO Cent Marshall is trying to clean up the wholesome image of the Mavericks dancers and change the dancers to reflect today's current culture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she also is making news because she led a small group that was going to deliver breakfast, tacos, and donuts to the DPD headquarters yesterday morning, but they were turned away by our police department.
They don't take outside food.
No. She has this grassroots organization called BB725, which stands for 7 Lives Lost, 2 Black, 5 Blue. And it's a reference to 2 black men killed by police and then the 5 Dallas officers who died back in that same week in July of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So she announces that they're going to do this, and the Latino organization The Latin Officers Organization said that they were really offended by the wording of their this announcement, and they were not going to accept the food. And indeed, Dallas Police Department sent an email a short time after that that they were canceling this breakfast because of the wording of it. Mm. Because the wording said that two guys died because they were black, and five died because they wore blue. So, basically, I guess the implication is that the officers shot these two men because they were black. No other circumstances needed. It's just that they... But here's some breakfast tacos. To promote unity.
Huh.
To promote unity among officers and the people they kill.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, but... There is a problem, looks like nationwide, and it's definitely an issue that the black community seems to be targeted in some cases. And in this case, but wait, I thought it was just one shooter.
What's that?
In the incident of 2016.
Yeah, this is these two guys were not killed by police in that incident.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a different incident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Alton Sterling, he was... wrestled to the ground, right?
Right, but that wasn't Dallas police.
Yeah. And the other one was Philando Castile.
Castile.
What was
Castillo.
He? How did he die?
He was the guy shot in the car, wasn't he?
Was that Minnesota?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That his girlfriend was
right.
videoing the thing, yeah.
Right. So, it is weird, though, to... Here's some donuts or whatever you're giving cops, and to promote unity, when you're making a claim that not all cops agree with.
Right.
Yeah.
So they turned her away, said no, thank you.
Was she the one who was actually delivering all the items, or
I think
somebody
so.
Else? Really?
I think her and
a few
some
others?
Other people. Yeah.
Mm.
So instead, they delivered the breakfast to the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Dallas and then made a donation of $7,200, originally intended for the Dallas Police Youth Organization, Youth Foundation, but went to the Boys and Girls Club instead.
Yeah, I think Alton Sterling was the one who was wrestled to the ground, and while they had him on the ground, mm-hmm. that's when they shot him, right? That was really disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Of all of the videos, and a lot of them are disturbing, that one was really disturbing to me. Because they had him pinned on the ground and thought he was reaching for a gun, if I'm thinking of the right one.
Right. Well, was it in Chicago recently where there was unrest and people started protesting because of a black man being shot there by cops?
Yeah.
And then, but then you see him clearly grabbing
yes.
for his gun.
They released that video, the Chicago Police Department. They released that video quicker than any video I think has ever been released in one of these shootings because they wanted to show everybody, look, the guy got away from our officers and clearly reached for a gun. What else were our guys going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the protesting subsided after that.
Did it?
I think so, yeah. It was pretty obvious.
Because that's a pretty important detail.
Yes.
And I don't want us to do the old, yeah, but still, I mean, the basic point is that the officers still... kill people who are unarmed, even though this one isn't it. And
right.
it's like, well, no, you need to acknowledge that that's a pretty serious situation these cops were in, and it looks like it was very justifiable that they shot the guy who was pulling a gun to shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
And did it matter what the guy's race was? No.
No. It shouldn't if it's a matter of life or death and you're trying to defend yourself.
Anyway, in other news, Demi Lovato, who is the ticket's own in a way, because she was from DFW, is from DFW. She's still alive. Of course, she OD'd on what was being reported as heroin. But her family comes out with a statement and says, Demi is awake and with her rep. Demi is awake and with her family, who wants to express thanks to everyone for love, prayers, and support. Some of the information being reported is incorrect. And the family respectfully asks for privacy, not speculation, as her health and recovery is the most important thing right now. So let's speculate for a moment, if we can.
Was the save shot used or not?
The report is that the save shot was used, but it was not heroin. But the same shot is used for opioids, which you know what opioids are. That's what you get when you sit on the couch watching Andy Griffith too long. As I heard on radio once. No, but opioids are like heroin, derived from the same stuff, which there's prescription drugs that are opiate derivatives that she may have taken those. But other reports saying that she partied with her backup dancers all night long and that she's been on a bender recently, and that's why her friends had the Narcan safe shot and stuffed in their purse, and that she was doing meth and heroin was the most of the reports. That's what they said.
Wow.
That's pretty full throttle.
Yeah. Do you think that'll scare her straight?
Well, I don't think her sexuality has anything to do with any of this.
No, I meant sober. Maybe. Scare her sober.
Maybe. She has a near-death experience. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Or, hey, look at this. Survive this. I can survive anything.
Untouchable. Mm-hmm.
But she's only like 25?
Off.
Have you ever come close to a heroin overdose?
No.
You got pretty came pretty far from it?
I've never pretty far from it, I guess, but I've never touched it.
Do you take go ahead, Craig.
I think we've all come close to an alcohol overdose, but I think that's about it.
I know, and those are hero tales. We laugh them off and slap each other's back. Remember that time?
I've never understood it.
It is, I always think about that when I hear people talking about their hero tales about hard drinking and it funny and was so wasted. If you just replace that with any other drug,
yeah,
we would all be, I just don't know. And they're bragging about it.
I told you about the time that I almost Jimi Hendrixed myself in college when I had so much to drink that
you almost learned how to play guitar well?
I threw up in my sleep. And had I not been on my side, I would have died just like Hendrix. If I had been on my back and thrown up in my sleep, I would have died like Hendrix.
With oh so fewer accomplishments.
Way
he started
fewer.
For the West Hall Hoopers.
I did start for
that
the
That would
Hoopers.
Have been a big story if that had happened.
I had 19 against the Bucks. That was my career high. And that's nothing to sneeze at.
There's no way. If you died like that, I don't think that any publication would ever mention you in the same sentence as Hendrix.
Well, maybe not Hendrix, but
like it never would be, you know, a lot of famous players. People have died of this. Hendrix, Craig Miller, that kid from UNT who played against the West Hall or for the West Hall Hoopers.
Yeah, for and, the West Hall Hoopers.
I'll go you one further. Not only would no publication mention me in the same sentence as Jimi Hendrix, no publication would mention me.
Grizzly would have put you in the yearbook.
No, he wouldn't have.
Yeah.
As dying by vomiting in my sleep? No.
Yeah,
that would not make the yearbook.
Yeah, it would have. We're so sad at the loss of West Hall Hooper, Craig Miller.
For the picture of Junior.
We would have retired your number at West Hall.
Yeah, that's true.
Wouldn't have been any cheaper in that LeBron ceremony at the Akron Rubber Ducks game.
Okay, now obviously your death would make the paper.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it was Jimi Hendrix's death or Demi Lovato future death. That we hope doesn't happen.
What?
Indeed. Do you think that the morning news...
Does you think?
...has already pre-written any of our obituaries?
No, I don't think we're big enough. Like, they had... They've pre-written
Do you think
any...
they would report on it if we did? If one of us did die, would that make...
Yes.
Yeah.
Or would it have to be the paid-for obituary section that would only be mentioned?
No, they would report on it. Because when we have unfortunately lost colleagues, peers in this business, it always makes the paper. But I don't think... I think they only pre-write the real... Like, they've got Jerry's pre-written. They've got mayors and former mayors, governors
Mayor.
And former governors, people like that. But they don't have us. They don't have us in the can.
Well, I'm offering to pre-write George's for the morning news.
I was going
to
say, I think they... Take a look at me, and they've probably written mine out, just thinking
about it.
Gosh, stop saying that.
All right, Jason Spencer, the Georgian Republican lawmaker, becomes the first one to lose his job as the result of Sacha Baron Cohen's TV show on Showtime. Have you heard about what this guy did, George?
No.
Okay, so he has resigned after calls from not only his Republican Party, but the Democrats. Everyone was saying, you need to quit. Okay, so on the show... Sacha Baron Cohen is posing as that Israeli defense expert guy, Aaron Murad or whatever it is, and he's teaching Jason Spencer how to defend himself. And part of the way he's doing it is he says you need to call attention to yourself to attract the attention of other people if you're being attacked by a terrorist. And one of the ways to do it is by screaming out the N-word.
Oh, no.
And also weaponizing homophobia. So he somehow convinces this dude, and I haven't seen the episode, I've only seen the pictures of it and read about it. He's pulling down his pants and going butt first towards the assailant, which is Sacha Baron Cohen pretending he's a terrorist, trying to rub his bottom on the assailant to weaponize his homophobia and screaming the N-word.
Okay, now I don't know why he went there. Why did
he just... because he knows that calls attention. If you heard someone screaming that, you would be going like, whoa, what is going on over there? But he convinces this guy into this position of insanity. And the guy does it. And the guy has come out and apologized and said that, he said, as uncomfortable as I was to participate, I agreed to, understanding that these techniques were meant to help me and others fend off what I believed was an inevitable attack. My fears were so heightened at the time, I was not thinking clearly, nor could I appreciate what I was agreeing to when I participated in his quote-unquote class.
And he knew the cameras were rolling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was
participating. Why would you do that? It's crazy. On camera. I saw the first episode and, you know.
It didn't do much for you?
Not really. I felt bad for Bernie Sanders, who was trying to just answer his questions.
Why would you feel bad for a socialist?
Don't start with that.
What? Come on.
I just didn't think it was necessarily funny.
Okay. It's not a great review, but fine. Turning 75 today, Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones.
What all right? Wow. Bye-bye, 75.
Maybe we'll run into him with the wireless at 8:40.
Yeah.
Helen Mirren, 73. Drummer Roger Taylor of Queen is 69. Susan George, 68. Kevin Spacey is 59.
Oh. What do you think he does every morning?
Go away, Baton!
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he is not really... He's not really attempted the comeback, has he?
No.
I know he came out, there was one movie that came out, but I think it was already in the pipeline before. Gary Cherone, the singer, who used to be from Extreme and then had a swim through Van Halen, he's 57. Sandra Bullock, 54. We have Chris Harrison, the host of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, is 47.
He's a P1.
Yep. He is. That's right. Do you think he has a good gig?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kate Beckinsale, she's Tickets Own. She's 45. Gary Owen, 45. Let's see. We'll skip right on down to birthdays in the sports world. Bob Lilly turned 79.
The great
wow. Bob Lilly.
Mr. Cowboy.
And Mark Hamill's sister, Dorothy Hamill, is 62 years of age.
The Hamill Camel.
All right. Thanks, Gordo. That's Muse 732 on the ticket. All right, Gordo, I understand we have a new feature that's going to debut this morning here on our camp coverage program.
Yeah, I like to do this every once in a while. I like to pick a rookie and get him to kind of record his audio diary of what goes on behind the scenes here, what the experience is like for a young athlete to enter this world of glitz and glamour, the Dallas Cowboys, and hear his hopes and dreams of making the team. So I approached one such rookie, and he recorded a little audio diary, and I thought I'd play it for you.
Great.
Okay, it's interesting.
Push play.
Here he is.
Hey, what's up, all you dogs and homies? Hello to the everyone and people. It's me, star rookie wide receiver LaShante Catamaran. You know, when I was back there playing for Georgia Tech State in the day, I never thought I'd be one day playing MI for the Dallas Cowboys. Can you believe it? I'd be the one... Yeah, boy, this is such an honor. Now, although the roster says LaShante, all the peeps from my favorite posse and the close buddies friends I made in college call me Josh. Maybe that's because it's my first real name, or maybe because it's always because I am joshing with them, with talk that is trashy. Back in my neighborhood, if you didn't talk with the trash with your buddy friends, you got your ass kicked and weren't considered what it is considered a real man. Damn. Oh, man. Damn, I am so glad to have made it an escape from the cold, hard streets of the Buckhead where I lived on this really cool cul-de-sac. Are you still there here? I'm worried I'm boring you, Mr. Listener Guy. Even though it may not never sound like it, I'm a little nervous to do this. I've never done any audio diary for a sports radio station like a lot of these players have. I'm not even sure who will be listening to this. The other day when I was practice, I see this bearded guy with a tape recorder approaching me, and I thought, oh, hell nah. I ain't hoping this is crazy white boy will be getting all up in here, with some tape recorder and S-word. But after I listened to his imposition, I agreed. I bet you want to know what it is like being a star recruit for the Cowboys. It's pretty good, but there is a lot of pressure. Oh, so much of the pressure. Oh, out there on the field, it is put up or shut up, and if you ain't got the attitude that you going to win, you will suffer a decrease in your efficiency. Man, hell, what else is up? Well, Coach Garrett took me aside the other day and told me that I am the new Dez. That was pretty cool. I would like to be the new Dez. I wonder how much it pays. Then I dropped about 7 passes in practice, and I watched Coach Garrett go over and tell Michael Gallup that he was going to be the next Dez. Oh, well, another little tidbit that you people will be interested in is that Jerry Jones hits the players when the media isn't looking. The other day, he punched me in the face when I said hi to him. It didn't make me mad. It's just that Jerry being Jerry. I sure hope I make this team. I've really enjoyed having been talking to you, scrotums. This is the greatest sport on earth, and I'm hoping to make the team of the greatest team on earth. Until next time, radio homies, I know I'm going to make the team, and I know I'm going to see you asses at the Cowboy Stadium after I catch that big touchdown pass, and y'all be chanting my name, Josh LaShante Catamaran. Go Cowboys.
Oh, wow.
Wow, okay.
LaShante Catamaran. I don't see him. Oh, wait,
I'm
there he is.
You
see him?
The
receivers, yeah.
Yeah, he's Catamaran.
I think he's running 7th team right now.
Okay.
Yep.
Georgia Tech State. We'll have to keep an eye on him.
It's Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Lunazul Tequila and Baker Brothers Plumbing and Air.
You guys take supplements? Vitamins?
Vitamins.
You know, the only thing I take are those probiotics and a little fiber for my gut health that I told you guys I thought was so important.
Okay, this is the big... God, we live in such a can't-win world. So every time something comes out that's good for you, then you read everything that says, you know, you don't need that, and that's bad for you, and you're messing with it. And I've read that about probiotics as well.
You know, all I know is what works for me, and I told you that since I started probiotics...
You've been better.
And a little fiber thing. I haven't had as much as a sniffle in 3 years.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
It's been amazing, and I feel great, so...
So if it works for you, even if it's a placebo, you don't care because you feel better.
May very well be a placebo, but if it's working for me, so I'm going to keep doing it.
Well, a new study of studies says that fish oil doesn't actually help lessen the chances of contracting heart disease or suffering a stroke.
Yeah, and boy, that was really pushed about 5-10 years ago. That was a big deal.
Great for you. You needed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And... I'm just getting so frustrated with the... It's 2018. We're on the brink of creating AI which can kill us. We can't figure out if something is good for us or not good for us.
I know. It's maddening. Is it because we are so different and so many people react to so many different things differently that it's hard to come to a consensus?
Yes, we're all individuals.
Even though we're all the same.
Right. Indeed. Indeed.
Yes.
We're all equal, but very, very different.
Right.
But equally different. So they say that the omega-3 fat from fish oil, known as EPA and DHA, provides little, if any, benefit on most outcomes. Whatever that means.
You know, for a long time, I took a multivitamin. Mm-hmm. I stopped that 10 or 15 years ago.
As did I.
And whenever I get my blood work, all of my levels are exactly the same as whether I'm taking a vitamin or not. Mm. And I've read that lately, that vitamin supplements do nothing for you, that you... It's much better to get it through your food, and that most of us, if we eat a balanced diet, do get it through our food. But then you can also read...
What is a balanced diet? Is that the same amount of burgers on one side with fries on the other side?
Whipped cream and cake equals burgers,
yes.
And then you're okay.
That's the equation.
I think you guys are a little off there, but...
Something like that.
Whipped cream and cake equals burgers. This sentence is making my eyes go hypno-wheel.
You know it's true.
Well, every time I get my blood work back, it says one thing.
Whipped cream?
Run a little bit rich?
No. No. Actually, my cholesterol is always good. I have a lot of the good cholesterol.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm weighted that way for some reason. No, the thing I'm always deficient in is vitamin D. Hmm. It's always vitamin D that it comes up that my vitamin D is low. And so yesterday, as I was walking around the beach area like a homeless person, because I don't have a home here and I don't have a vehicle here, I walked to the grocery store, and as I was buying supplies, I purchased some vitamin D. I've never taken this as a supplement before, but I decided I was going to start.
Okay.
Since I passed on the fish oil while I was there because I read this study, I figure I'll take vitamin D. But I'm just prepping for tomorrow when the story comes out that taking vitamin D is bad for you.
Yes.
Or just won't do much for you.
You know, for a billion years, humans got their vitamin D from the sunshine.
Right. But then we created Inn of Doors that
right.
was climate controlled. And everybody started staying inside. Well, that was the other thing. I walked around for a good long time yesterday getting my natural vitamin D from the sun.
That's good.
Oh, your
and
body's
skin
loving
cancer.
Now you're going to get skin cancer.
And skin cancer. So then I had to slather on some sun tan blocker, right? Sun blocker. And so that would keep me from getting cancer from the sun, but would make me get cancer from the sun blocker.
Yes.
So I have that going for me.
Yeah. You brought up a point that I was thinking about yesterday when I was looking at all the homeless people in
Dang,
Ventura.
Man. They're not homeless. They're and just you, without homes.
And you mentioned how you seriously doubt that any of them are using sunblock. Yet they are in the sun all day, every day, mm-hmm. and they have this super deep tan, leathery skin. Mm-hmm. How are they not getting sun cancer? I mean, skin cancer.
Well, they probably are. They just don't visit a dermatologist regularly, I don't think.
Yeah, but then they just... live regular lives, it seems like. It seems like they just live for a long time.
Ooh. Seems like they live forever.
That. They seem pretty hardy to me. They survive incredible conditions.
They've been out there long enough to have that leathery skin.
Yeah, you think they're 72, but I don't think they are. I think they're like 52.
How do you know?
I don't, but how do you know that they're 72?
Because I ask them. I actually take the time to talk with them, George.
You just look at them and go... How's that 401k doing?
That is so insensitive and so untrue. I have more compassion than you've ever even read about.
That's a weird claim.
So we got into the Mavs dancers uniform change thing. Boy, I think this is a really interesting issue, and there's a lot of P1s sounding off about it, including some female P1s, which I'm particularly interested in their perspective. Not that their perspective is... any different than anybody else's, but we need to hear from women who
was
I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to say, but I know I'm supposed to
say that.
Really
it's
praise women
the,
and say that we want to hear their opinions.
A woman's perspective on it. How about that?
We want to get a woman's perspective of it, even though being a woman is a social construct that I haven't talked with these people who present as women to know that they're actually women.
Okay.
I don't know. But they look like women and they're commenting on it. Anyway. So this one P1 says that her problem with the Mavs dancers' uniforms is that they are required to wear it. It's making women wear clothing that dresses them like a sexual object. And then I responded to her, you know, I think it's a little bit problematic to say, what clothing can a woman put on that we can then say, well, you're dressing like a sexual object? I don't think you... She can wear whatever she wants to wear, mm-hmm. and how are we judging that she's dressing like a sexual object? And so we tell the Mavs dancers, you know, you can wear whatever you want. Don't you think there's a good chance that they will gravitate towards wearing what they would wear that makes them most attractive?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because women tend to, if they're going out to the clubs or whatever, they tend to wear things that maximize their attractiveness. Then you have, you're putting Mavs dancers on a big stage and saying, dress however you want. Isn't there a pretty good possibility they're going to dress to maximize their attractiveness?
Yes.
And then doesn't that raise the possibility that they may be seen as a sexual being from someone in the stands, which we should respect that they are a sexual being and not feel threatened by it?
Well, and they know going in when they try out in an outfit that's very similar to the one that's the official uniform of the dance team, and they know going in that if they do make it, they know what the uniform looks like. They know what dance moves they're going to have to do.
But does that make it right for us to require them to dance that way? Or if we let them dress however they want to, they can wear their own clothing. Can't you also make the argument that that's an unfair burden on them? Here they have to decide on and go out and acquire their own clothing, and we don't require these male players to do that. They just get stuff handed to them. They don't even have to think about what they wear. Yet we require these women to have to make all these decisions about what to wear and to go out and get this, what to wear. And
how much kickback or protest or how many people object to what's happening with the Mavericks and around the NBA and the NFL? Like, how much negative feedback do you think franchises have to face on this?
Very little.
I think it's very little, too.
Well,
the only reason the Mavericks are doing this is because of the SI story.
Right.
And the culture and their need to make good. But how many calls did the Mavericks front office get complaining about the dancers last season? I would bet one, two.
Right. But you know how these issues work. It works with... What's the thing that we can talk about and debate and think, and what can we make an issue because we're thinking ahead or we're thinking in social justice kind of ways? And so, we end up hitting on issues that the population at large really, there's not a real actual problem there. It didn't come organically from the crowd. It's right. There's not a huge contingent of Mavericks fans that are talking about how I just can't stand the fact that you have these dancers right. out there performing.
Can't you say we are...
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Can't you say we're overthinking things in many cases these days?
That's what the online world is, Junior.
Overthinking?
Yes, and we have to overthink, and we will... And what we said last week, that's not good enough. We have to have something to think this week, and it's always something that overturns last week. So we've had this idea of progress, but it ends up eating us.
Yeah.
We're sex positive, and we don't want people to be sex objects. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be seen as sexual, and if you see someone as sexual, then, oh, what are you? Why are you even seeing this person as sexual? Or you're just trying to make her cover up now. Oh, okay, she can't be who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And then if she wears something really revealing, then it's all, we need to cover up because people are looking at her as sexual. Or
I just don't know where you draw the line. I mean, you can say, okay, you can't bump and grind, you can't do that anymore as an NBA
Why? Because
dancer.
That makes you have sexual thoughts? Why are they responsible for your sexual thoughts?
I don't
thoughts?
Know. Well, this new CEO, Cynthia Marshall, she says they're going to have more wholesome dancing. I just don't know where you draw that line.
Well, who gets to define wholesome?
I don't know. And
is
that's
she
what
bringing
I'm saying.
Her patriarchal ideas?
I don't know.
Christian patriarchal ideas of what is wholesome?
Well, and some would say, okay, well, just make him more like the military style dancing, like the Kilgore Rangerettes. Well, they do a high kick routine. How is that not inappropriate?
What's inappropriate about high kicks?
Well, they're in short skirts and they put their legs up in the air.
And what does that do? What does that expose?
What do you mean?
What area of their body does that expose, maybe?
They're the front bottoms.
Oh, God.
That's not a proper medical term.
Front bottoms.
That is not. Women do not like the term front bottoms, sir.
I'm just repeating what you said.
They prefer you call it the labia majora.
Or...
because that is the visible part. If indeed it is visible, and it shouldn't be visible because you shouldn't be looking.
You may
unless
also...
unless they want you to look, and then it is their choice.
You may also call it the Virginia.
No, you can't call it the Virginia. I thought Carrie, P1 Carrie, had a really good point. She says, we had a little exchange. She said, 100% agree that there's no perfect non-sexist answer. It sucks for the girls who just want to dance. It sucks for the girls who don't like the clothing. And it sucks for the girls who do like the clothing. Yes.
Yeah. That's something they enjoy.
We have effectively talked ourselves into a verbal corner on just about every issue. Because of our propensity for we need to come up with an argument this week to move the ball. The ball has to keep moving, or else what is progress? Staying the same is not progress. So to keep the ball moving, we got to say something, and then we're inevitably going to contradict ourselves.
We're still going to have topless bars 20 years from now?
Yeah.
I don't know. Which way do you go with that? Shouldn't we deprive... We need to deprive men of the ability to go in and objectify women, but we don't want to deprive women of the ability to make a living doing that. So where do we go?
I think we'll always have topless bars because it's a business, and there will always be people who will go and support that business, people who don't care about whether they're objectifying women or not, or their personal moral standard, wherever that line is. And because we are sexual beings, there will always be that kind of business that can succeed out there and take advantage of that. I don't think they'll ever go away.
You know, I've shared this before on the air. One of my favorite quotes about the complications of being a woman... It's weird that I just said that, but came from Nora Ephron. You guys remember her, brilliant, funny writer. Wrote When Harry Met Sally and directed Sleepless in Seattle. And
just passed away a couple years ago.
A few years ago. And she had this great quote that she said, in my fantasies, men never want me for my brain.
Right.
And isn't that so true?
Yes.
I mean, that it seems as though women, here I'm speaking for women, and that's problematic, so on and on. But... in your fantasy, do you want to be hot, or do you want the guy to respect your accomplishments in neuroscience or whatever it is that you've accomplished in your life? When it comes to sexuality, we want to be attractive physically?
Yes, and that I brought that up during our Mavs Dancers talk, and that is what is at the one of the many things at the root of every single person, not just human, but go into the animal kingdom. You basically want to attract a mate. That is how we are all wired, is that you want to mate. And to mate, and you want to mate with the most attractive person you can, therefore you make yourself as attractive. Everybody wants to be attractive to the opposite sex or to a potential mating partner.
But maybe we're at a point in culture where we're trying to get over that.
Culture, yes, but not biologically. We're not at that point biologically, and that's what causes the struggle.
Like, I've dated some really smart women in my day. Put that on my bragging montage.
Boy, we will.
And it seems like I would hear complaints about... that they didn't like it that guys were just always attracted to their mind or their personality. They also wanted to be really hot. I think we overpraise the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we see the individual as the entirety of the individual? Like, obviously, I'm not the most physically gifted person, so I had to overcome that with some personality and things like this. And so, yeah, so maybe I can attract a mate with my mind. But that is unsatisfactory to us because we want to be attracted, the whole thing to be attractive.
Right.
And it's annoying if someone just likes you for your body or they just like you for your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we fetishize the mind over the body when both of these things are organic gifts that we inherited from our genes? Why is that? Why do we teach everyone that, no, it's all about your mind. Don't worry about your body. No one should ever like you for your body. And if they do, you don't want that person.
Yet
they can only be attracted to your mind.
Yet what you experience from a very young age is so contradictory to that message that's preached. Because from a very young age, the attractive kids are the popular kids in grade school. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you want the attractive girl, or you want to make yourself attractive. It's so biological, and everything from a young age is so biologically driven once you hit puberty from then on, that it's contradictory to the message that we're taught is you love someone for what's inside. And so there's that constant struggle.
Yeah, and just can't we align them a little bit more?
Yeah.
Like, can't our culture recognize our biology and work within that those confines?
Right.
I mean, I'm all for we should appreciate people for their mind, too, and we do. You know, confidence is attractive in a person, personality is attractive, and their physicalness is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And by telling people it does not matter what you do to your body, you can abuse it all you want to, you can look however you can dress however you want, because your visual appearance does not matter to anyone. That's just not true.
Hey,
it's not true, and we're doing kids and people a disservice to say you don't have to pay attention to the entirety of yourself.
Right.
Bring it back to the Mavs dancers. You know how, especially in like the second half, it seems like on the television broadcast, the Mavericks television broadcast, do you know how they return to almost every commercial?
How?
The shot of the Mavs dancers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
It shows you, hey, they're attractive, and it's fun to come to a Maverick game.
You know,
this is what you see, and we got it going on.
The World Cup announced that they were doing away with the honey shots.
Oh, yeah.
That tradition is going away, of showing attractive women in the audience.
The ultimate test is, when will network television stop coming back from break showing Cowboys cheerleaders?
Mm-hmm.
They were the first group of attractive women that were shown on network television consistently. And every single Cowboys game, they come back from break or go to break showing a cheerleader. When will that stop?
Well, if they stop it, I'm going to complain that they do it. And I'm going to complain when they stop it because, oh, okay, you can't show women. Oh, women are just so threatening to you that you can't show them because you fear their sexuality.
I hate
don't
when you play other side of the aisle guy and you just keep jumping back and forth.
But I'm telling you, Giorgio, there are people on my side of the aisle that do that exactly that.
I know.
They jump back and forth, and they're saying the opposite thing of what they said last week. The only consistent thing is I'm against whatever you're doing.
All right, Gordo, thank you. That is the corner. It's 9:33 on the ticket. Coming up next, we're going to visit with